Tim, should we tell the listeners how to join the Golf Week Amateur Tour?
Yes, of course. We should probably do it now before we forget, though.
I agree. It's simple. All you need to do is go to amateurgolftour.net, click the Join the Tour button, and pay your local tour's membership.
Thanks, Chris. Membership for 2024 is open, so register today to join the oldest, largest, and best amateur tour in the country.
And remember, this podcast can be found on all the major platforms. So make sure you like, download, and share it with all your friends and family.
Chris, that's a great idea. Now, on to the show.
Hey, Tim, welcome back. You know, it's been a while since we've been able to have a chat, but it's great to be back.
It is good to be back and seeing your face and talking to our guests. It's going to be a good episode.
Yeah, can't wait to get this started. How about you?
Yeah, it's going to be great. Let's go ahead and kick it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, Golf Week Amateur Tour, the podcast. Talking about all things Golf Week Amateur Tour, including interviews with tour directors, players, and course pros. Now, here are your hosts, Atlanta Tour Director Tim Newman and El Paso Las Cruces Director Chris Rocha.
All right, Chris, welcome back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I was telling my wife the other day, it feels like it's been a month since we recorded an episode. So it's good to be back, and I can't wait to see to talk to our guest today.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't know is, you know, when we record this, it really kind of depends on our work schedules and our travel schedules. And we recorded the previous episode like right after the other previous episode. Went live, so we haven't talked in 2 weeks, and a lot's been going on. But hopefully, we get back on a regular schedule. We've got the March shirt contest contestants are now live on Facebook.
Say that five times fast.
See, I have trouble speaking when it's just like simple one syllable words. Let alone you put words like that in there, so it's tough. So make sure you go on Facebook and vote. And, you know, we're going to talk about this whole thing because I looked at today. I was kind of surprised at where the votes currently are. They came out of the gate real hot.
Yeah, they did.
Real hot.
Yes, they did. You know, it's tough for me because I can't vote.
Yep.
One, I mean, I don't mind voting for my guys, but at the same time, it is only one vote. We'll talk with the staff later on that, the bosses. But two, I got two good front runners in there. And if I pick one over the other, I'm not going to hear it for the rest of the season. And I just really don't want to deal with that. So good luck.
Yeah, I'm with you on that too. Because, you know, I got Shaggy from D.C., I love him. He's my guy. He was the one in D.C. that took care of all the stand-up cancer stuff while we were there.
Right.
Really loves the tour, really loves what we do, is passionate about, you know, finding a cure for cancer. I'm pulling for him, but also I got my Atlanta guy, you know, Donald Price in his shirt. You know, so I just kind of sit back and watch, and I told them both good luck, you know, privately and personally, but I don't even really, I can't really say anything, right?
Right. It's tough for us. It's going to be interesting come, September when we have to vote the bracket because we're going to have to be non-biased, but I can't wait to see how this unfolds. And I think it's, you know, as a lot of tours are starting and we're seeing more events happening, we're seeing more interest in this and that, and that's what we want.
Right. I'll be honest with you though. If Shaggy or Jordan don't win this one, I'm going to be exam people's brains. But anyway, let's get on to the important stuff on the show. You know, our first guest tonight, he's a tour director, but he also won the St. Patrick's Day Sea Flight Regional in Myrtle Beach. So let's welcome South Florida tour director Terry Lawson to the show. Terry, welcome, bud.
Hey, good evening, Tim. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's always good to see your face.
Well, at least I've got one that says that, you know.
I do. It's made
for radio. That's what they say.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's
for
what
me,
Tim says all the time.
It's a also have a voice for silent radio. Movies. So you know, we're
my second voice. You guys are looking good. So, man, yeah. It's good to be on with you. Appreciate
having you. It's good to have you. I know you speak with my wife, you know, Jennifer, on a regular basis. And, you know, you won the regional Myrtle Beach over St. Patrick's Day weekend. You know, we weren't there. So I think that's the first regional, Chris, that we weren't at, you know, to do interviews.
Wow. That's a crazy stat because we've been at most of them.
And Jen comes to me and says, Tim, you're screwing this up already. You know, you're supposed to be going to these regionals and interviewing players. I said, what do you want me to do? I said, well, Terry's pretty pissed because you weren't there to interview him. He said, he's an old man, finally won a tournament, and you weren't there to interview him. I said, what am I going to do?
It's true. It's all true. Everything she says is true. Super excited, man, to win a regional. I mean, come on. That's
a big deal. I don't care if you're a tour director or not. That's a big deal.
That's a major. A major. Mm-hmm. You know, and bottom line, that was a thrill for me, especially after over 10 years of trying to get her done. Big deal. I won some 2 days. You know, I won 2 days on seniors in Orlando seniors in Orlando and South Florida. I don't think I ever won a 2 day on my home tour, but regional, that was a big deal for me. Plus, you know, it was just fun. And Marty up there, man, first class act all the way.
He does a good job, doesn't he?
Oh, man. What a pro. Yeah. Really good. Really smooth.
Well, maybe we should just call that tournament the Tour Director Open because, you know, Tim Sumption won the B-flight.
Yep, saw that. And,
yeah, so two tour directors won two flights. You know, that's always good. I say it's always good. I love it when people have never won, they won. I love it when my friends win. I love it when tour directors win. I just like it when people win because, you know, as a tour director, you know, you just said you've never won a 2 day at your own event, primarily because it's so hard to do that. Well, right? It's work. So hard to run the event and play well.
It's work, but it's a labor of love. You know that we all do it mm-hmm. because we're golf freaks. Marty made me feel welcome, and I just, you know, I got lucky. I hit the jackpot, man. It was cool. Made some new friends, man. It was fun. Played with some old friends. One of your buddies, TJ, mm-hmm. Tony James. He was in my
I love that guy.
He's a class act guy too. Mm-hmm. All the James boys and friends.
All the James are.
They're good men. They're good guys. Good friends. They come over and play on our tour occasionally as well.
Yeah, and I love getting all of them together and sit around and, you know, having a couple of drinks and tearing it up a little bit.
You might not get to talk much, but you can sit around and have a couple of drinks.
Laugh.
I don't need to talk. I just laugh.
That's right. Yeah, they're good guys, man. Good family. You know, good family.
We've had them on the podcast. We know.
Oh, exactly. I heard them on there talking over each other. Those guys are funny, man. I love them all, them James boys. Them TJB, that's what they call them. Them James boys.
So let's talk about your round in the regional. You shot 83 in the first round.
Yes, sir.
On Saturday. That's a pretty good score.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if you guys ever been to True Blue up in Pawleys Island, but it is not. It's mm-hmm. not a joke. At that tough golf course, had a plan, had a game plan going in. Our leader Dennis loves to stretch you out when you get to the bigger tournament, so we were playing at 6,300 yards, and I'm gonna tell you what, buddy, a C flighter, 6,300, that's a long way.
Yeah,
I got them in. I had a game plan. I hit my wedges like darts. Some of my one putts were for par because I was sticking wedges in 4 or 5 feet all day.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Saturday was a good day. Made a couple good friends, man. Gilbert Kennedy, guy out of Richmond. We played both days together, became instant friends. We've been emailing back and forth, you know, and Tony James, like I said, he was rooting for me. The guy, even that Trent, the young guy out of Eastern North Carolina tour that was tied with me on the first day, first class gentleman, hit the ball, you know, 280. I was like, I'm in trouble. The first hole, I'm like, I'm in trouble, man. And stuck to my game plan, stayed down the middle, putted well. Got to 17, dunked one in the water. I'm like, oh, boy, that was the first peak I took at the leaderboard all day. And I'm like, okay, all right, I doubled that hole. And I came home and played around the lake on 18th. I'm going to say I chickened out on 18. We had about a 3-club wind in our face, and I was about 145 out. And I'm like, man, I'm going to have to hammer this. Or I can just shortcut it over there, and that's what I did. So they had told me at that point, we can catch you. And Trent, you know, the second-place finisher was right out in the middle, you know, 260 into the wind. He smokes one, and he just pulled his a little bit. Just left of the pin, and it went in the lake. That's when I let off the gas. I'm like, I think I got it. Cruised on in, got a beautiful trophy. Called my wife, you know, celebrate. God bless her. Good day, all. Like I said, good day all the way around. Making a friend out there, man, you know, with Gilly. He goes by Gil. I changed it to Gilly by the second day, and we were buddies, so, you know, the whole rest of the time. We had a good time. They were congratulating me at the end. That's what this sport's all about anyway. That's what Golf Week's all about, to me at least.
You told us, you know, offline, Jeff, missed an episode. How many times has that been said, you know, just here on the podcast and then, you know, in all your tournaments, you know, that's what the guys say. It's about the friendships. It's about, you know, there's golf and there's a competitive golf, but people come back because of the relationships and the friendships that they've made and built.
Oh, yeah. Here in South Florida, we just call each other fam. You know, I got fam in so many tours now. Like I said, Augusta, Atlanta, Richmond, Hilton Head, obviously everybody in Florida, you know. I mean, I don't know which state has the most tours, but we got to be right there. We have five in the state of Florida. So is there a state with more?
I don't think
right.
So.
So, and, you know, I've been so lucky. This is our third season. The first season, Robbie Robinson, Tom Myers from Orlando. Mentor immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Paco, mm-hmm. Jack Sr., mentor. Friendship immediately. John Szczygowski, the right. NCF X director. Shane.
Yeah.
Donnie, Jacksonville. Every one of them checked in. Brother, you know, we're here to help you. And they did. You know, John Szczygowski drove like 3 hours to meet Mark and I at dinner and stayed there with us for 3 more hours going over. This is what you need to do. This is Clive. This is what Scallons look like. This is your trophy guy. This is your blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's been a fun ride. It's been a ride, though, buddy.
How much fun is John Szczygowski?
He's a great guy. I mean, he's a first-class man. He's a gentleman. He's hilarious. And he likes to go to the casino once in a while. And I may or may not like to do the same, you know. I'm not saying or denying.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, Srixon.
A great iron set needs more than good looks. It's gotta be fast and gotta be pure. But good looks never hurt either. The all-new ZX Mark II irons from Srixon.
I understand.
That's my type of guy right
there. That's right. He's a great guy. We miss him. He comes around still once in a while. We see him. More on senior stops now than anything. But even when I was a player, before I even had a tour, he'd treat you like a gentleman. You know, when you'd go up to play his tour, he was a gentleman. He was first class. And, you know, I was lucky to be able to build my tour by following some of their plans. You know, I mean, you could call it hobby. Right. You can call, I mean, I guess it is. We're all trying to do the same thing. But I'll tell you, once again, Marty up in Eastern North Carolina, there's a guy that could write the book on how to operate the Golf Week Amateur Tour. If you see his check-in table, it looked like Sports Center. You know, there were screens everywhere, there was TVs going here, there were people everywhere, they were handing out stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, he does it right. That's for sure.
100%.
I'm about to check one of these out.
Yeah, oh, amazing. He's playing it again. Well, Chris, you're probably not old enough to play on the senior tour, but they're doing it again in the summer. So,
no, not yet.
We'll get it. I don't know if you guys really cover the senior tour that much, or do you?
But we do. Not as much as we do Golf Week, you know, right now, only because of schedules. Chris has a Golf Week and a senior tour. I've got Golf Week. And on top of it, you know, just the regular travel schedule, right? So like when the regional in Myrtle Beach that you were at, that was my opening tournament.
Oh, right.
On the 16th, yep. You know, couldn't be there. And Chris had a 2-day. And so, you know, we've tried to be, you know, really strategic in in planning when and where we go. I was here in Hilton Head for the senior in Hilton Head.
Yeah.
Just there. Because it was convenient.
And the golf week. Also, I saw you both of those. Made a friend there.
Yeah.
I'm a page man. He's a gentleman as well. You know, he's a good guy.
Did you know who he was before you met him?
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
And I kept saying, man, how come I know this guy's name? And then finally somebody's like, bro, you're from the South. You don't know Kevin Page or something like that. I'm sorry. That's my bad. And I agree. It was my bad. Right. What a nice guy, man. Cool guy.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to get down to Sawgrass, but it's not at a good time. You know, my full-time job is I'm a college professor. And so the month of April and the first week of May is busier for me than when the semester actually starts or when school year starts. And so, you know, that time frame, it's just hard for me to get away.
Well, you guys got three full-time jobs. You got your podcast, you got your golf tour, and then you got the one that you make a living off of. So,
right.
Simple as that. I know about time management, brother. You know where I'm at every week.
Exactly. I mean, you travel probably more than anybody I know, you know, back and forth, you know, up here for work and then back home to see family and run the tour and those types of things.
700 miles a week, every week.
Jeez.
That's just go home and go back to work. Mm-hmm. So just as commute, only got to commute twice to work, but 350 one way. It's okay. You know, it's life, buddy.
Right. Well, I do the same thing to Atlanta.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's a long way from Hilton Head. Right. Mm-hmm. 5 hours.
Right. But when summer comes, you know, Chris and I are gonna be on the road. We're doing back to back weekends to Michigan and Louisiana. We got to figure out some other ones we're going to get to and how we're going to do the Labor Day stuff.
You guys are doing awesome. You guys are doing a hell of a job. And I appreciate what you're doing for a golf week tour.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It started off as you know, we wanted to do something fun to be able to give back and really kind of share what's going on across the country to everybody. Chris, I'm not going to speak for you on this. I had no idea this was going to take off as quickly and as big as it did.
No, I mean, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, how, you know, you called me and just asked me, hey, let's do a podcast. Sure. Let's have some fun and, you know, talk every 2 weeks and have a good time. And now we're doing nationwide contests for the prettiest shirt you can find. And we're getting our faces put on these shirts.
You guys are getting your FaceTime out there too.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane to see where it's gone, but it's been fun. And I can't wait to see what's next. And then, you know, our road trip hasn't even gotten off the ground yet for us. And to see those players that go to those events, how excited they'll be that we're there and want to talk and this and that. It's going to be a good time.
Well, you know, you can always come down to South Florida for a 2-day major and be your guest down here. We don't play very far from the Hard Rock Casino on one of our southern stops. So, I mean, you could always cover just a regular one if you're down for it.
You know what? My wife would never, if you ask my wife, she would never say no to Florida.
Right. Okay.
We just have to make a stop in Orlando for a week. That's her only concern.
Perfect. that mouse house. It's there.
Yeah. She's going there. She's a travel agent. So she's going there in a week.
Awesome. You got
for a conference. It's more just let's have some fun with the girls in the group. But
be a member of your tour, she can come down and play around. So there you go. She tell her
she's not a golfer yet. But we got my youngest one a set of clubs, so maybe she'll tag along with us when he starts playing.
So, Terry, tell us what's going on in South Florida.
Man, you know, we're in season 3. It all happened on a whim. So this is 24. 2021, I guess, was my first season. I don't know, Tim.
That's about right.
Coming home from Nationals that year, you know, I've been playing on the tour for 10 years now. This June, it'll be 10 years I've been a member of Golf Week Amateur Tour and Senior Amateur Tour. So, was old enough 10 years ago. You're welcome. And I fell in love with it. You know, I've been an athlete my whole life. I've been competitive my whole life. I got to 50 years old. My wife made me retire. I had a long slow pitch softball career, traveled all over the nation playing softball, had a great time. know, first it was 40 and over. Hey, you were getting a little tired. Oh, we're 50 and over. Hey, we're getting a little tired. And then she's like, no, you're past a little tired, dude. You see now walk, you know, that got taken out of shortstop too many times. So I put my efforts over into golf. Competitive came with me. I don't remember if I won my first season. I may have got a little taste of it. After that, buddy, it was hook, line, and sinker. I was gun hooked. So Mark Klink, a friend of mine from softball, we've known each other for 40 years, I'm guessing. We would always ride together back and forth to Orlando or Jacksonville or wherever we might be playing, Tampa. And we'd be like, man, we just need a tour on our side of the state. Just driving 2 hours, we're driving, you know, it turned into an 8-10 hour day, not knowing.
Right.
Yeah, now it's 8-10 hour day is pretty normal.
Uh-huh.
But Dennis agreed to let me start the South Florida tour. I guess we're kind of like on the northern end of South Florida. You know, we're just up on the very top of the tropics, right at the line in the near Vero Beach. And took off the first year. You know, I think we maybe had 50. Last year we had a little over almost 90. This year we're trying to break into the club. We're at 76, 77. I think I got a couple signed up this week. We're going to get in the club this year, buddy. We're working our way a little farther south, you know, because we get a lot of support out of the Orlando tour. A lot of guys come over and play with us in Tampa tour. But we're getting more interest the farther south we creep. And we're going to start our marketing in the south, in the south of Florida, West Palm area and surrounding. You know, West Palm is a big city, so you got to have that base to go off of.
Right.
But Mark's right. Been right there with me since the beginning. He's a number cruncher. You know, he's a smart guy. He's very personable. I'm sure you've met him. We've been running with it. We built a schedule. We had no clue. We got it in October, November of 2020. And Dennis said, I go, you know, well, next year, you know, he's like, oh, there ain't no next year. Build a schedule. So we quickly did. And we've been moving forward. Thank God for few people. Jennifer Newman, couldn't have done it without her. She spent countless, countless hours with us on the phone, on Zoom calls, clicking into our computer, basically saying, see that little thing up there? Click on that. See the little thing that looks like a squiggly line? You know, click on that. And I mean, she walked us through it. And man, she was a godsend. She was awesome at it. I love her very much. You know that. She's a jewel. You're a lucky man. And
yes,
the Golf Week Amateur Tour is lucky to have her on board too, because man, she's sharp. She's awesome. I'm not just saying it because she's your wife. She's a great friend. She's a great attribute to the tour. She's just a great person. I bet she's a great grandma too. She seems like.
Oh, she's phenomenal. Yeah, I believe she's phenomenal.
And then Mark, you know, of course, Mark worked so hard. My wife, Marae, I can't shortcut her because she sets it up. She checks everybody in. She brings the brownies. She'll stay up, you know, till midnight the night before a tournament making brownies for the guys. And like I said, Dennis has been super cool. Jennifer McCormick's been super cool. It's a good organization. Susan, Icky. I mean, you can't never run into a bad name, you know? And like I said, I've met so many tour directors just in Florida, yourself. Like I said, Marty super impressed me over in Augusta, super impressed. I play a lot. I played around, you know, I'm going to Vegas for the senior regional here in July. I get to meet those guys out there. And you know, we're always going to be in a big old house of the South Florida Boys Saturday night cookout at Nationals, and we're hoping to have some more fun again this year. We invite everybody. You know, if you're out there, you're coming to the cookout. And you saw our shirts that we wore for our picture last year. We just have a ball down there, and it's down south. And get a big old family. We got some damn good golfers too. I'm sure you know that, Daniel.
You do.
Daniel last year was my champ flight player who picked up his skin at the skins game. You guys had him on the podcast. Robin Gomez throws an ace out there on the last day last year on a flight. I mean, I got some ballers. I had two of my guys win the two-man group, you know, so South Florida, we're coming.
Is this?
and we want that team trophy. That's our goal. We talk there about it go. A lot. We're gearing up. We're coming for it. We want it.
That's a good one to get. I mean, and you only get it when you bring guys, right? Yeah, I mean, you got to bring 25, 30 guys to have a shot at it.
And I don't know how many. I should have kept a little better track of how many I've brought to Nationals each year. But, I mean, looking at the picture, you can't really tell because I've got guys from Orlando. Some of the guys I met, they were just, like, from Michigan. They jumped in the picture and put on the shirt. So we're just having fun, man. We're always having fun out there. I'm lucky and I'm blessed to be in the situation that I'm in.
What's your favorite course in South Florida that you all play?
Hands down, the PGA Golf Club, the PGA Village in Port St. Lucie. It is a 5-star all the way from the time you drop your bag off to you hit the driving range to the 9-hole chip and putt course that's there for your use to the 3 courses, the Watermaker, the Die and the Rider. Phenomenal shape. We went in last year. We probably had, no kidding, 5 or 6 inches of rain the night before the tournament. We pulled into the gates. We were like, oh man, we're going to be in trouble. They had pumps running. The guys who played a practice round literally submerged their golf cart coming off the course.
Wow.
We played 90-degree roll the next morning. They had, like I said, unbelievable course.
Wow.
Unbelievable design. Unbelievable staff. We had people coming from all over the country last year. Chicago, I can't remember the roster, but I mean, it was up and down. Hilton Head, Atlanta. I mean, we had guys, you know, one of my first year members has moved up there. I don't know if he's joined your tour yet, but if he hasn't, you need him. His name's Neil Corbett. He moved up there. He lives in Lake Reynolds now. So if he's not on your, if he's not on your roster this year, you need to shoot him an email because he's a gentleman. He'd be a good one for you.
Now, he hadn't joined yet.
He should be an A-flighter. He may have joined over on the I know, like, last year he was an Augusta senior member. I saw him hang around over there. He'd come down and played with us a couple times. Good guy. Good guy to have on your team. You got to reach out to him. I'll shoot you his email.
All right. Please do.
I will. Sorry, that would be the hounds water getting watered down right now after.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, Srixon.
ZX Mark II drivers are for major players, major winners, major power. All new ZX Mark II drivers, only from Srixon.
It's all good. It's all good. Well, Terry, thanks so much for spending some time with us tonight. I really appreciate it. You know, I always enjoy talking to you. And I know we'll see you soon. I'll see you before October. Oh, yeah. For
you're
sure.
Going to see me plenty, buddy. We got some work to do over there at your house, so we got to come on in and take a look at it.
Yeah, need you.
I'll be in Beaufort County. Yeah, I'll be in Beaufort County in 3 more days. So just holler at me. I appreciate y'all.
You got it,
man. It's exciting for me. I can't wait to hear it. I'm, like I said, a voice for a face for radio. That's what they say. appreciate y'all. Come on down and see us. Tom, we'd love to have you. You know, we treat you well down here. Y'all come on down and hang out with us.
Yeah, you know we will. And I know it's your anniversary weekend, so. Hope you enjoy it, and don't play too much golf. Spend some time with your
wife. Yeah, I got a stack of blinds sitting over here that need to be put up, so there you go.
That only takes like 10 minutes.
Honey, so. Wait to see the pile. It's a honey-do weekend, but you know what? I'm home. I'm happy. 82 degrees today here, just a little chilly.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
You know, come on with it. We'd love to see y'all.
Nothing wrong with that.
Come and see us.
All right, buddy. You take care. We'll
thank
talk to you
guys.
Soon. Chris, you know, I joke with Terry, you know, about him bitching and complaining that we weren't there to interview him when he won the regional. It's all in good fun. Terry is a fun guy. He's doing incredible things. He and Mark are doing incredible things down there in South Florida. And it really is good to see that he got that regional win St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. You know, it's it's fun to have these conversations with these winners, to just, the listeners don't get to see, but we get to see the faces that they have and the excitement and smiles just to talk about it. And that's what we're here for, you know, for them to be able to relive that moment. And hopefully everybody gets to have that chance at least once.
Yeah, you know, like we said, you know, when we talked to Terry, that, you know, when we started this, it was really just to have a little bit of fun and try and, you know, figure out what's going on across the country in the tour. And it's really kind of grown into what it is, and it grew quick. But for me, you know, the fun part is talking to the players and tour directors across the country and hearing their stories and having fun with them, because, you know, it's not something that we can do regularly. We're necessarily stuck in our tours, but, you know, you kind of live in a silo, right? So you don't really get to see what's going on and hear the stories and hear about, you know, the guy who drove his car, I mean, drove his golf cart into the puddle and submerged it.
Right.
Or Cephas last year, you know, setting his golf cart on fire. Or, you know, were them James boys, or, you know, pick a story that we've heard from our members.
From anybody. Yeah. Right. It's one of those things where...
Seven holes in one over the course of a year.
Right. It's things that, you know, stories that we wanted to bring that everybody gets to hear about. And it's just, it's been a great time. And we talked about it, you know, in our interview. We can't believe where it's gotten. And we just can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah. Last episode, we did the first half of the conversation with Ken Roman from Srixon, you know, the club fitter. And, you know, if you haven't heard that first part, please go back to last episode and listen, because the second part of the conversation, it takes a little bit different turn, really starts talking about the Srixon clubs and balls and the technology that goes into that.
Yeah, it's something to listen to. It was a great conversation that we got to have. But also, since that conversation, I've kind of tried different golf balls with Srixon. And I mean, I didn't realize the amount of options they have. It's like a candy store. If you haven't looked, literally like a candy store, the golf balls are different colors. But it's been fun to kind of figure out, you know, how they compare to what I play now, the Titleist. And it's just a great conversation that we have, especially if you have any thoughts of getting a fitting. This is one way to actually get that ball rolling and get started with that.
So let's go ahead and pick it up where we left off. So tell us about the irons.
The irons are amazing. I mean, we've really built quite the following. I think it was at Barclays this year that, so the ZX7 was the number one model iron out on tour. You know, Title said they were the number one iron, but they, you know, they were counting everything, whether it be, you know, guys playing stuff that they didn't even make anymore, prototypes, current. They also offer quite a few models, but, you know, if you look at our irons, more than 50% of the guys, week in, week out on tour, I think it's some, don't quote me on that number, it's somewhere in that range, the uncontracted guys are using our product. The irons themselves have just really got an amazing following. And one big key piece of technology is the VT sole. So when you look at the bottom of a Srixon iron, it's something that a lot of the companies have actually started to try and emulate. You look at that secondary leading sole and the scalloping that creates a unique situation as the golf club comes through impact. It allows the club to, you know, travel through impact cleaner. It's why Brooks Koepka plays on irons. It's, you know, you take a look at the major champions, Shane Lowry, you know, when he comes through impact and he, like many of our tour pros, are using multitude of our models to optimize their set. So using ZX7, ZX5s as a combination. And we designed those clubs to combo out. And the cool thing is so the ZX7 is a one-piece billet forged golf club. We do CNC the mill, the inside of the cavity, which gives us a unique technology in the sense of that we're able to really control the thickness of the face. We do tungsten load all our irons. So tungsten loading is, you know, when you're able to insert tungsten into an area, it creates stability that a traditional normal billet forge golf club does not have. You take a look at the ZX7 too, through the set itself, that is a lower launching, higher spinning. The CG is a little bit higher. That is our true player's foraging. That is the golf club that is out there and being one winning majors and being played on tour week in, week out. And then you take a look at the ZX5, and that is a multi-piece forged golf club. So the face is a mainframe face technology where we forge the face separately. We don't show it to anybody. A lot of companies are boasting their AI technology. We use enormous amount of AI technology in that face behind. What we can't see is behind, under the hood, so to say. Mm-hmm. We also use sub 10 stainless steel on that face, which is a special steel. It's a 1020 carbon steel, which is used in the ZX7 as well. But we put a product in there, the sub 10, which is it's a palladium. It's an alloy. It's spring steel. It's what they use to make locomotive springs. And the cool thing is it makes the face springier, wow, but faster. It does it in a consistent way. A lot of irons, and the reason why a lot of folks praise the ZX5, it's probably your most popular golf club. I really think that, and I haven't seen the sales numbers, but I'm willing to bet that the ZX5 is our number one selling golf club. Just when you look at what that is, the look of it, the performance, the feel, but then the forgiveness that comes with it. And I think, Chris, you're a good example. You're telling me you got fit into those, you're over a 15 handicap, working your way down to a single digit, and you're able to jump into an iron like that, that has that look and has that performance, but still has enough forgiveness that you're able to, grow into that set, which is really nice. That also too, that there's tungsten weighting in that golf club as well to create extra stability. But when you're able to forge that face and then laser weld it onto a forged body and then combine with the loaded tungsten weighting, It's a combination that can't be beat. It gives you the best of all worlds, where it's going to give you forgiveness. It's going to give you feel. It does have a little lower CG, so especially in the longer irons. So that's why the longer irons are so popular, even with our best players in the world go out there using them. I think when we talk to the tour guys, usually we hear about 70%+ of our pros on all tours are comboing their sets out. I believe it's somewhere in that range. I'm sure it changes week in, week out. And then you have our ZX4 iron is a hollow bodied iron. So it uses that same mainframe face as the ZX5, but it uses a cast hollow body and tungsten weighting to create, I like to call, a game improvement iron like no other, in the sense of you got a real forged face. People nowadays are stamping forged on a lot of things, that they're just forging a piece and they're saying, oh, it's forged. Forge is what makes forged, or the name of forged, it's the feel and the performance that comes from it, the control of the spin, the control of the ball speed, the consistency of distance is so very important to us. And this iron here in the game improvement iron, we really reiterated that, where you're going to be able to get a lot of forgiveness, you're going to get a high launch, you're going to get a mitigated spin, and then a substantial amount of stability, but in a golf club that feels like a ZX7, so to say, it feels like a forged cavity back iron. And we've had a lot of success with that. That model has changed. This is the second generation of it, and this one is it's funny when people look at it, they're like, man, it looks so clean. I've had a lot of people, they look at it, they're like, I can't hit that. I'm not good enough to hit that. I'm like, I don't think you realize how forgiving. And then kind of jumping over into our Cleveland brand, we have our new XL Zipcore iron. You'll notice with the Cleveland irons, they are not forged, but they do have good feel. The key kind of technologies with the Cleveland irons is you start getting a little bit more game improvement category. You still have a VT sole, so you have that VT sole design. You do have a mainframe face, so it is made separately, and then the golf club is made multiple pieces and then laser welded together. The XL iron is a little longer from heel to toe, and it creates an enormous amount of stability. That golf club, I'm probably, we just launched that in January. I can't tell you how excited I am about it. I've seen it in the field. I've been using it in the field and fitting events over the last 2 and 3 weeks and just blown away by the performance where when you set it down, how clean it looks, you know, also too, just the overall performance and feel, but the level of distance, the launch and the really kind of mitigated spin for that iron is hard to find. We're also using our HydroZip on that face, which one thing that you're starting to get into game improvement irons, I'm seeing people are having issues with gapping. So we're really cognizant of that. And our HydroZip really controls the spin, really controls the distance control. And then we get into our XL Halo, which is, truly is a set of hybrids. Every club in that set is a hybrid. Even the pitching wedge, the gap wedge is a hybrid. And I could tell you that here in Myrtle Beach, we got a lot of folks that are retired and so forth. The ladies, that golf club there, that thing is popular. What makes it popular too is the Cleveland line has what they call ascending mass technology. So there is a counterbalance weight that is in the shaft. It's an 8 gram weight, and every club has it. So every driver, every fairwood, every hybrid, all the irons. And what that does is, you know, it helps the everyday golfer swing the club faster. And the easiest way, if you want to know what ascending mass technology does for you, grab your golf club, grab the grip, try and swing just with one hand, feel it, and then go ahead and put the golf club in your hand where the club head is behind your hand, where you're just swinging the grip of the shaft. You'll notice that you can swing that enormously faster and with enormously a lot more control. And that's what counterbalancing does. And it's a unique process. We also own the Zexio brand, which has pioneered the lightweight technology. And we've kind of taken that from the Zexio brand and incorporated into our Cleveland brand as well. So the cool thing about this company, we have something for everyone, for all the way to the top to bottom.
Uh-huh.
So from that tour pro, that major champion, male or female, all the way up to that aspiring or just walking into the game golfer.
It's amazing, the technology. And then go back to what you mentioned about earlier. I was thinking about, I can't imagine why clubs are so expensive. Can't imagine. You start to, why are they so expensive?
Yeah, I don't get in there, right?
You know, when you hit me with locomotive spring steel, who came up with that? I mean, I'm at a loss for words. I mean, what kind of brain do you have to come up with that idea? You know,
very this sounds like engineer. A good
idea. And you know what I mean?
Well, also too, like, it's amazing. Think like we have taken with the new Cleveland line, we've taken an enormous amount of technology from our wedges. We're using the Zip Pour technology in there, which is using a product that goes into the heel and that gives us more material to use on the hosel. And then the HydroZip that we use on the face, that is something that we use on our wedges. And that's a dynamic blast. Essentially, imagine sandblasting, but instead of using sand, you're using a nano material. I mean, this is highly complex stuff, and create a surface that will last, you know, for hitting thousands and thousands of golf balls. Yeah, it's not just the thrown together very quickly.
You just bring up another point. I was going to ask you, how often, if you buy a good quality set of clubs like Trixon, you go get fit, how often should you be replacing them? Because to me, I would say most guys aren't wearing these clubs out.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah. Well, that's our business model, that we're all, you know, golfers love new toys. It comes down to how often you hit golf balls, how much you're playing, how much you're practicing. And frankly, the wear and tear, I tell folks it's different for every person, like, you know, where you play golf to, if you play in a sandier conditions, like here in the Southeast, you know, Bermuda, there's a lot of like a sandy base turf and so forth. When you're hitting balls, if you wipe the face off between every one and just make sure there's not dirt and sand on there, that really makes a big difference. But the old rule of thumb, if you could take your thumbnail and run it down the face of the golf club, and if you don't feel that thumbnail grabbing, the kind of better your answer your question. If you play an enormous amount of golf, you hit a lot of range balls, because range balls are hard, You can use a set of golf clubs 2-3 years, and then, you know, you're going to have diminishing results from, you know, how the grooves are working, the spin and so forth. And, you know, those things will be affected.
All right, Chris, I just helped you out there.
We got to figure something out. I'm getting close to that 3 years. We got to figure some way to get out there.
You got to tell your wife, you got back from vacation 2 weeks ago, and hey, honey, it's I just talked to the expert. He says I need new clubs.
I'm used as an excuse a lot. Ken said that I need new clubs.
Well, we'll have to see what happens at Nationals, because we may have to make an investment.
Okay, going back to the whole technology thing and how things work, you put a lot of research and design into the clubs. You put a lot of research and design into the balls so that they actually work together as well as they do, as opposed to, okay, you're over here just working on a ball.
Yeah.
Over here, and the club's over here, and not even thinking about the importance of them working together and the ultimate benefit. It's creativity there to me is amazing.
And, you know, like we offer three different tour balls. We offer Z-Star Diamond, Z-Star XV, and, you know, all three of those golf balls are going to perform slightly differently, but there's a big enough difference there that, like, there would be a clear choice for each golfer that will bring the best performance. And then also too, there's times where a golfer will want to achieve something different. We have some golfers that actually week in, week out, the XV is and the Diamond are most popular on the PGA Tour, and the Diamond and the Z-Star and the LPGA and the Champions Tour and so forth. But, you know, different compression, different spin. Also, too, the Diamond and the Z-Star have 6 mil covers, so the audible sound is a little softer, and folks that are playing with other competitor balls seem to, that is the gateway ball, in my opinion, what's that has turned into to, you know, for easy to, for folks to get into the Srixon brand. The XV has been popularized by Hideki's Masters Wind, and along with Shane's British Open, and then Brooks Koepka's PGA he was using the Diamond golf ball. But we have some of our pros are using an XV 1 week and a Diamond another week. You go out on tour, you have one golf course that's, you know, you're playing Harbor Town, and, you know, distance is not that important, but stopping power is really important. So it might be worth giving up a 5 or 6 yard off the tee and making sure that, you know, and a couple of yards off the iron, but to make sure that when the descent angle and the spin rate is that little bit higher to have that control compared to then, you know, you go to a different place where, you know, it's more of a distance is more factor and they're going to jump into the XV.
All right, so I'm going to ask for a friend here. He has trouble putting. Can you talk about up putting fitting and how you go about doing that?
We have a unique technology with our putters. People have a hard time putting. In most cases, are mishitting the putter on the face. You know, you don't have gear effect like on a driver and so forth. So if you look at the grooves on the Cleveland putters and our three different models, the Frontline, the HB Soft 2, and the Mill, HB Mill, all three of those have a unique thing in that they contribute together. And that's the grooves on the face are designed to where if you hit it a little bit on the toe, the ball, the farther out on the toe you hit it, it's still designed that it's going to roll the ball that same speed. So it's still going to go roughly that same distance. Wow. And that's important. Like, so for example, even though you hit it on the toe, if you have a 10-foot putt, it still rolls 10 feet. And vice versa, if you go to the heel, it does the same thing. If you look at the technologies with putting, you know, our Frontline putters, there's an enormous amount of stability with those. Like, there's a lot of weight that's been redistributed. We're using an aluminum insert. You know, we have our most putting technology in that particular line. You get into the build line, and, you know, if you're looking for that soft carbon steel, build carbon steel face, that golf club will bring that to you. The HB soft line is actually a very popular line, and it has we have a new putter out called the Retrieve, where it fits inside the hole, picks up the ball. I know there's another company that has something similar that we had to make our own way of doing it. And the nice thing is ours, the way that I had to give the R&D guys a lot of credit. You don't have to, like, you know, really push on the ball hard. You just put the ball, the putter on top of it, and you pull it right out and it comes out. And there has to be something said for consistency. We're also offering in the front lines, we're using that all in shaft. It's the UST shaft. And it's graphite and steel, and we've seen some really good response from that particular product. So it's pretty awesome. Big thing when you're getting fit for the putter is you go on our website and you look at all of our putters. Everyone has like a stroke preference. Like, they either have a lot of arc or they don't have very little arc at all. Make sure that the putter matches up to the stroke that you're trying to make. If you're using like a claw grip and you're not going to want a lot of arc. If you're cross-handed, same thing. You're going to want a straight path putter. But if you are more traditional, where you like the putter to open and close a lot, then you're going to want one with a lot of like a slant neck or so forth. Instead of you having to try and figure that out, if you look on the website, we like every putter. You look at the bottom right-hand side. It gives you the path that putter is designed to work with, and it makes it a lot easier.
That's awesome. Chris, you write that down?
Oh, it sounds like I need to try this out one in person.
I think
he's
so.
Writing the note to his wife, how we're going to get new clubs.
You're going to have to start winning some tournaments and saving that money.
There you go. So Ken, how can guys set up an appointment with you?
One way I could recommend is folks DM me on Instagram. It's it's my name. It's K, and then it's the last name is Rohlman, Rohlman, the number 74. And if they could just send me a direct message on Instagram, I'll respond back. And then also too, I'll be able to let you know. Either set up a fitting, a personalized, the process of setting up a personalized fitting, or one of the fitting events, if you like scheduling an appointment at one of the fitting events that we have. Like this time of the year, we have fitting events, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. From March, April, May, and then part of June, we stay very consistent here. And I do events from all over Charleston, all the way up to north of Wilmington. I have a gentleman that I have actually trained my fitting system, Danny Bartlett. He's down in Hilton Head. You know, we've been working together for about a year and a half. Him and I met each other at a fitting event years ago, and he just we were just sitting there talking one day, and he's like, "Man, I want to learn how to do this. How do I do it?" I said, "Well, you get to come work for me. How's that sound?" So he's doing a great job, and he's really learned how to apply it and understand the concept and using it and applying it, mm-hmm. and providing a good result.
That's awesome. I appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. Hopefully we can have you on again as the season goes on.
Yeah, definitely love to do that. I really enjoy talking with you guys, and looking forward to hopefully maybe one day working with you in person. So
that'd be great.
Okay.
All right, bud.
Thank
All right,
you.
Take care. So that's the second half of the interview with Ken. And, you know, as I went back and listened to it, what really amazed me is he's talking about this technology, Chris, without looking at notes, without looking at websites. I mean,
right.
he's just talking about these things just off the top of his head. You know, so you know that he knows his stuff and he knows what the clubs can do. And that's, you know, one of those things that makes him probably and his system one of the best fitters in the country.
Oh, yeah. He has a passion for it. And I mean, he's mentioned it before that, you know, this is something that he really fell in love with and wanted to do. And yeah, if I ever get a chance to meet him, which I hope we get to, just can't wait to pick his brain and just see what he's able to bring off the top of his head, because everything that he says is spot on to what I've seen with other fitters. But just the technology that he's taking with it is just something that is, in my opinion, greater than some other people that you could go to see if this club's right for you.
To hear things I didn't know that, you know, because I don't follow which clubs the golfers are playing. You know, I follow the golfer. I don't necessarily follow what's in their bag. Had no idea that how many of the best players in the world are using Strix on clubs and balls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy the what's out there. Like I said, I'm trying them to see how they feel, and they're pretty solid. There's so many options for all golfers that I'm pretty sure you can find something that you're looking for if you needed to.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, like we said in the last episode, you know, if you're in the market for new clubs, take the extra time and get a fitting, because you're spending a lot of money on these things, but make sure you're playing the right clubs for you. Generally shouldn't cost you any more money, cost a little bit extra time, but in the long run, you know, for the investment that you're putting into these clubs, it's really worth it.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly like you said, it's an investment. I mean, I wouldn't go buy a car if I'm not looking to see what each one has to offer. Same right. Concept.
And even if you're just starting off, right? I mean, you should do that, because if you just go out and buy clubs that don't fit you and aren't, you know, really, really fit for you, you're going to struggle and get frustrated and give it up. You know, spend that little bit extra time and find something that's going to fit you, and you'll be much better off in the long run.
Yes, you'll enjoy the game more.
Let's switch gears here for a second. Since we last talked, man, that's kind of how I felt at our first event, Chris. You know, I love my guys. They're awesome. You know, but we had our first event a couple weeks ago, and if it was a comedy of errors all the way, start to finish, top to bottom, left to right, comedy of errors all the way around. To start off, there was a mix up with start times between, you know, we were at the private club at the Governor's Town Club. There was a mix up in start times. So we started a half an hour late. Member play.
Jesus.
Yeah. That wasn't really that big of a deal. You guys just kind of roll with it. And, you know, if you're playing at a private course, you know, those things are bound to happen. You know, when members come up, you know, it's just kind of
right.
Yeah, you kind of just gotta
bite the bullet and just take it.
Yeah, just roll with it, right? I mean, it's well, you know, what are you gonna do?
Right.
So we had we knew close to the pin, and I've got, you know, the Halley mark. There's a tape measure and a clipboard that you clip right to the flagstick. Right. It's got a pencil. I put a pencil on it for him and everything. I'm trying to make it easy. Make it easy as possible. I generally have the same person in the last group every week, and he picks them up. He takes a picture of it and picks them up for me and sends me the picture so that I can, you know, pay people out if they need to be paid out before they go.
Right. Right.
And so he sends me the first one. Looks good. He sends me the second one, and I glance at it. Okay. Looks okay. He sends me a third one.
This is tea times, right?
Yeah, tea time event, right? And we had 80 guys.
I mean, so that's a long day.
It was a long day, a long, long day. So actually, by the time I got the last group off, we had like 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, till the first group came in.
Okay.
So it was real quick turnaround time, and so he sends me the picture for the third close to the pin. It's got the same guy's name on it from the second one. Okay, good for you. Just glanced at it, you know, didn't look at it too closely. And then the fourth one also had our 50-50 on it for, you know, the V Foundation.
Okay.
And I look at that one, and the same guy who was on the two and three had it on four. And I said, that's very, very unusual.
Right.
Right. For those of you that aren't really aware, closest to the pin means if you are closer to the pin, you win. And so if you hit it 25 feet and the person who in front of you has written down 24 feet, you're not closer than him. So don't write your name down.
Right? Did you speak to this player afterwards, or?
Well, I pass it off to one of our members because they've got a nickname for this guy.
Okay.
Can't get right.
Oh no.
So it was the running joke, you know, for the 2 or 3 hours before, because 2 or 3 hours before he came in, because the guy who put his name in, it was a deflate guy, and so we were joking and laughing and playing and just having a good time with it. And the guy who won the 50-50 that goes to Jimmy V put his name on the wrong close to the pin marker.
How?
That's a good question. Because it's
her hole.
And it's marked. It's clearly marked.
Right.
And he wrote, so when you look at the close to the pin marker, so let's just say again, he was 25 feet. He wrote above 24 feet, right?
Oh, God.
So if he thought he was writing on the right one, he still wouldn't have won.
Right.
So they were all messed up.
Oh, man.
It was comical. We have another guy. I love our guys. They're fun. You know, we have a great time. This one guy, about 2 years ago, well, before I even tell that story, every tournament, we're looking for something for him. His phone, his clubs, something. Doesn't
it's
really
a
matter.
Golfers, yeah.
I mean, it's something with him. A couple years ago, he drove to the course in his car, left his keys at home, got out of the car.
Hold on. Drove to the course in his car.
Yes.
Left his keys at the home.
Yes.
Okay.
So he gets to the course, locks the car, goes to play his golf, and he can't get into his car because he doesn't have his keys.
Right.
2 hours away.
Oh, what did they do? What did they do?
OnStar can't even start the car so you can drive home, right? You got to have a key. So
right.
His wife had to drive 2 hours, give him his keys.
Oh, I bet you she was pissed.
Oh, God. So.
But doesn't the car tell you, hey, you're kind of.
My car beeps. So like if I start
right.
Get in the car, start it up and get out, it lets me know that the car lets me know that the key is no longer in the car.
Wow. You had an eventful weekend.
Well, that story happened 2 years ago. Right,
right, right. But it's the same guy, though.
Same guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so no, he we're sitting in the men's locker room, you know, hanging out, having food, you know, drinking drinks as cards are coming in, and he's sitting at a table with a bunch of guys. You know, we're laughing, joking around, having a good time, and all of a sudden he gets up and says, "Have you seen my ball mark?"
Oh shit!
No, I haven't. Sorry, I know I should have been looking for something for you. Had no idea it was a ball marker this week, but no, haven't seen it. It was an Augusta ball marker, you know, the little one, you know, metal. It's, I mean, you've seen them.
Right.
And I get it. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to lose that, but he starts tearing stuff up. I can't find it. I can't find it. 45 minutes later, one of the guys that's sitting at the table with him, who I gave the close to the pin markers to for him to address it with. I can't get right. He says, "Tim, come here." So I get up, I go over to him, and he says, "Look down." The ball marker was like, would have been like right at the feet where the other guy was sitting. Like it just kind of fell out of his pocket.
And right there. Yeah.
He's tearing stuff up. So this guy's looking for about an hour. So the other guy picks it up and says, we're not going to say anything to him for a while. We're just having a good time.
Right.
Yeah. I love seeing the guys. We had a big field, great course, good competition, two playoffs. It was a good time. Just fun. You know, just got to get the guys back into understanding that, you know, 12 feet is more than 10 feet.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And I mean, you have a tape measure right in front of you. That should be able to tell you as well.
Yeah.
Which one's closer.
You would say?
Gee, that's why I got rid of the closest to the pin. I just do total par three. It makes it a whole lot easier. But then on my scorecard, I have a little box that says, please tally up the yellow squares for each player. I even color them yellow so they know.
Sure.
And we still get scorecards with their totals in there. Like, they wrote their total twice. Like, for instance, 75-75. And it's like, why would I need that twice? So
I'm glad you said that, because, yeah, I tried something a little bit different on the first tournament, and I got to do it again. So basically, I created a pace of play sheet. Oh, so each hole, you have a certain amount of time to finish, right? So you get 13 minutes for a 3, 15 for a 4, 17 for a 5.
Okay.
And I told them, as soon as you when put the time that you finish each hole, the time that you finish each hole. So after you hole one, you write the time that you finish. At the end, it should equal 4.5 hours.
Okay.
Had one group who they weren't paying attention to what they were doing. And I'm trying to use this to track who are the slow guys, you know, who are the slow groups,
right,
that sort of thing.
Right.
He was putting times in that they finished the hole. Let's just say hole three. He would put in times that he finished hole three before the group in front of them finished hole three.
Huh.
I said, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to look at this? He says, I don't know. I just wasn't paying attention. Really? Had some guys doing it like, you know, the time that they teed off as opposed to finish?
Right.
And I just trying to tell them, you know, especially at, you know, the private courses here, if you're playing in over 4.5 hours, they're not going to have you back. That here in Atlanta, it's just not going to happen. And so I was really trying to push that and to get them to understand, you know, how important pace of play is, you know, in terms of us getting courses and getting good rates.
Right.
I'm looking at some of these things. I'm saying, oh my gosh, it's almost like being back in school sometimes. I just look at them and I start laughing. You know, I love the guys. It's all in good fun, but we got to get them trained back up into distances, times.
Yeah, I mean it's new to them. You know, it's a new season. They're not used to it. Let's be real. It takes a little while for us to get back into the grind and remember how to do everything.
It does.
And I'm pretty sure Jen and Jennifer and Susan and now Nicole hate getting messages from us like, hey, how do we log into LiveScore again? How do we do this? But, you know, it takes us directors, especially the ones that are trying to play, it takes us a little bit longer, hint, to figure things out. So
it does.
If they're listening, we apologize. We appreciate your support. It's all in good fun. At the end of the day, you know, once the season's over and we're laughing about these things and we're at nationals and we're laughing about it and having a good time, that's what it's all about.
And we were laughing about it at the time. And actually, what I think I'm going to try and do is Jamil, because I know Jamil listens. Jamil, I'm going to try and get you on the next episode and get your take on some of the characters that we have.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I feel for your guy who lost his ball marker. Because at one of the events, my brother lost a ball marker on one of these holes at the tee box because we made it to the green and he couldn't find it, right? So obviously he knows it's from that green to the last green. I'm like, dude, it's a tee marker. Like, I mean, it's a ball marker. Who cares? He's like, yeah, but it's one that dad gave me. And I'm like, oh, shoot, here we go. Like, now it's got a sentimental value.
Right.
And we still have 4 holes to go. We don't have time to go back and look. So I'm like, let's just play. You know, I'm pretty sure Gabe will let us a card so we can come out and look for your ball marker and like, let's get it out of your mind right now. You're top of leaderboard. Let's try to get this round over with without having a blow up. Anyways, round's over. We ask for a card. We go back to this hole. We're like, all right, let's take a look. Like, retrace your steps. It's not that big of a tee box. Let's retrace your steps. Look for about 10 minutes and you finally, you know, all right, I give up. I'm not going to be able to find it. As we're walking to the cart, I shit you not, and if you need to, the ball marker is right by the driver side where he stepped out of the cart. Like, that's crazy. But it's just crazy how he parked right there. He could have parked right over it.
Right.
You know what I mean? He could have gone too far. Like, it's just right there, and we didn't
right
see
there.
It because we were too busy trying to figure out where he was going. So I feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys gave him his ball marker back.
Oh, we did. We did.
After he tore up everything, it's these stories that you have for, you know, the rest of your life that you're able to tell. Like one of our guests said, you know, the brothers that we have on, oh, they got stories for days, some that they can tell on the podcast, some that they can't, but
right.
Those stories are just every, I'm pretty sure everybody has a handful of stories that they could tell.
So we got the March shirt contest winners voting is now open on Facebook. So please go to Facebook, go to the hashtag GW Podcasting Shirt Challenge 2024 page on Facebook. You'll be able to vote for the March winners. There were five entries for March.
Yeah. Sorry. We went from two to one to five.
Five.
So yep. We're building traction.
We are. And go ahead and make sure you vote for the March winner. Get your shirts in for April. I mean, it's still, we got 4 weeks left to go in April.
April just started. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you get your shirt entries in. I know we just had our first 2-day tournament this past weekend. We go up to the what I call our mountain swing or North Georgia mountain swing. There is a regional in April. You've got two tournaments in April, right?
I have two tournaments in April. Yeah. Two single day events, but there are some challenging ones. So great to see what comes out of that one.
There are two regionals. We got the Florida regional coming up this weekend at Innisbrook, and then next weekend is a Smoky Mountain regional.
Yep.
I mean, we're going full bore. So I believe every tours is playing now. So, 46, 47 tours out there playing, but let's get some shirt entries in.
We're only going to see more from here.
Yep. Let's do it.
It's only going to get harder to be able to pick a great shirt, but this is what we were expecting and hoping for, and can't wait to see what happens next. I'm excited to see who wins this month. Even though I can't vote, I'm excited to see who wins this month because it's tough competition.
Me too. Yeah, and voting is open, I think, till the end of the month.
Yes.
I don't know what we have in the rules there, but I think in April, I think we'll break it down to like a 2-week window. I think having it up for a month or, 3 weeks, it's a little bit too much, but I think probably 2 weeks is probably an appropriate time frame, especially, once we get into September, you're only going to have a week.
Right, right. And it's crazy how this month, I had given you an insight on a shirt that was going to be displayed with our pretty faces on it. And halfway across the country, somebody else had the same idea.
Same shirt, yeah.
And almost identical shirt. It's just crazy how we think. But because we thought it was a for sure win, and you didn't get any wind of that one being brought out either.
Nope. Nope, nope.
So go check them out. If you haven't seen them, go check them out. There's some good shirts on there. A nice Ryder Cup shirt on there.
The Master Chief has a shirt up there. Remember Ken Mutzeball from our talk back in last May?
Yep. He's got a nice shirt up there. And then you have the shirt with a big face on there. But it'll bring golfers to their knees if they were to see that face lining up a putt.
Yes.
So yes. That's a very good shirt. I just have to make sure I don't wear the same shirt when he does on the golf course. Because that would just be weird.
It would be weird. And we would start calling you names.
We don't need all that. We're just going to, I'll just text and make sure he's not wearing that shirt when we go on trips.
Maybe we should send Ed a message and see what kind of shirt he's going to submit.
Yeah, he needs to. He hasn't done it yet.
No, he hasn't. And actually, I know they're kicking off soon here too. But anyway, that's all I've got for this episode. You got anything else?
No. Again, like I said at the beginning, it feels like we haven't talked in a while. But it's good to have another conversation. And now we're getting the season started, so we're gonna have a lot of great guests the next couple of months. I'll go to Nationals.
Yep, it's gonna be great. It'll be great. And we're about. We're less than 2 months away from our next trip.
You're telling me. I'm already looking. I'm excited. I just...
Yeah, me too.
You know how it is, packing and all of that stuff.
Yeah, but you don't have a big-ass box.
I don't, but I am taking my wife to Louisiana, and she packs a big-ass box.
Well...
She's probably listening to you right now talking about that. I'm going to hear it later on.
Just be careful. All right, my friend, you take care of yourself. Listeners, again, we appreciate you tuning in, listen to us. Remember, this podcast is for you. So please let us know if you got questions, you want to hear a particular story, you want to hear from a particular person, you know, please feel free to drop us a line. You can reach me at Tim, NATC at amateurgolftour.net, and Chris at
El Paso at amateurgolftour.net.
Again, thank you all for all the support for the podcast. Thank you for all the support for the tour, and take care. And we will talk to you next time.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Chris, we didn't do it again.
What didn't we do?
We didn't say how to join the tour.
That's right. It's simple. All you need to do is go to amateurgolftour.net, click the Join the Tour button, and pay your local tour's membership.
Thanks, Chris. Membership for 2024 is open, so register today to join the oldest, largest, and best amateur tour in the country.